Before we dive in, we are still in our series of All In, but as we get there, I'm sure you've probably played the kind of thought-through game, if you will, that typical game where it is, if you could spend one day of your life with anybody, right, throughout history, you know this game, right? Like, who would it be? Those kinds of questions. So here's the thing. We're going to play that game for a minute, but I'm just going to go ahead and take the Sunday school route of this out. In other words, all biblical characters are off the table, okay? So you don't get to say God, you don't get to say Jesus, right? That was always me, Jesus, right? And so, and then they would say, well, not just Paul, right? Whoever I could think of, I'm going to be the good Sunday school boy and go through. So take all those folks. I will let you have history, all right? You can go wherever you want in history, past, present, future. If you know those people, that would be impressive, okay? So, but you can think of whoever. So, a day. And let's even extend it to maybe a week. And let's maybe even go as far as you could have up to 1 month in the life of whoever it is that is your person in history, right? That you get to go everywhere they go, you get to do everything they do, you get to experience everything that they get to experience right alongside. You get to kind of do a shadow project, right, of going with them. And like, I can already see on some of your faces this giddiness of like, oh my gosh, like that would just be amazing, right? To get to see and have what they have and do what they do. Some of us are thinking of a celebrity. Some of us maybe just have a family member or a friend. It could be any range of things, but somebody that we just didn't get to have that kind of access to. There's somebody in history or around us that we just never got the opportunity to have, whether it's the advantages that this person has or the skills or ability that this person has or access to information that they have. And just to be in that world, right, just to be in that arena would just be incredible, right? And most of us, whoever that figure is, if I came and said, you get 30 days. 30 days to follow them 24/7. You're going to sleep at the same places. You're going to eat the same food. You're going to experience all the same stuff. Most of us would probably take advantage of that opportunity, right? We would walk through it. We would do it. So here's the random question, right? You would make all these memories, but at what point would you start to complain? Like, at what point would it just be too much, right? Like, for an example, one of the people in history for me that I just think is an unbelievable figure is Winston Churchill, right? Guy was an incredible leader, led us through one of the most, but his schedule of life was insane. If you've ever read about, he worked all through the hours of the night. He didn't actually do the typical 8 to 5 day. This guy got up and worked from like 10 to 3 in the morning because everybody else was out of his way. He could get more accomplished. That was his thing. At what point would I go, God, do we have to do this again? Do we have to stay up all night again, right? Or what would it be that you get access to whatever celebrity is in your mind and you're watching them go through as the cameras flash and everything goes down and they're signing autographs for everybody along the side and you go, well, I didn't get an autograph. Why didn't I get an autograph? Like, I'm the person who has access, right? I don't get an autograph? At what point would they pick a meal that you go, you know, I'm going to go ditch out and just go hang out with my friends and go get something else to eat because this isn't really my cup of tea on the food angle of things. Or maybe they're a person who's super disciplined in study or reading and they say, hey, the next part of my day is that we're going to sit and we're going to read and we're going to study for the next 4 hours. And you're going, you know, I mean, we've been doing that for 3 or 4 days. I would like to just go back to my own life. See, as I lay all that out, you go, maybe I would, but the chances are that we wouldn't. Chances are 30 days, a week, whatever it was, we would grind it out and we would get through it to try to learn, to try to gain whatever it is that we would want for them, or just because we have the opportunity to be in the presence of whoever this figure is that's in your mind. Fair? So here's the question. The kind of Ecclesiastes will go to us today. Is God more valuable than your celebrity in your mind? You see, because I can say for me, I'm more than equipped and more than experienced at complaining about what it is that comes my way in the life of Christ. I'm more than capable of complaining of, I have to get up an hour early to spend time in the Word. Or I got to stay up an hour later than I want to spend time in the Word and prayer. I am more than capable of saying, you don't understand, God, this person's getting this. And I'm only getting this. Why is it that they get that and I only get this? I'm more than capable of going down the list of whatever it is. Why is it the world gets to experience these things and I don't get to experience that? On and on and on down the list. And the reality is that a God who is completely sovereign has given us access to Him. We have the availability to be with Him daily. Not only that, let's just take it a step further. It's not even that. God hasn't invited us into His realm. God actually came into our realm. He actually left His comfort zone and came into your comfort zone. And once you receive and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, He actually takes what is called the Holy Spirit and indwells you. Enters into the center of who you are and starts to help direct you to the perfect life that He has sovereignly created. Now, if you're looking at the screen, it sounds really motivational to say that we're all in on the sovereignty of God, right? But here's the thing. The reason that I say that, and you could write this in your notes if you want, but if your heart isn't sold out and all into the sovereignty of God, it's going to be very difficult to have a joyful life. And one of the things that we hope and we pray for this church and for us as individuals is not that we would be these people who get access to God and then begrudgingly have to go through everything that it is to live the Christian life, but that we would be people who actually get access to God and joyfully get to do it, that joyfully get to walk through it. And again, these 30 days, there would be things that weren't your favorite thing. There would be schedules. There would be whatever that you wouldn't like. But here's what my guess would be. If you got 30-day access to your celebrity, that when it was all said and done, you would come back and just tell of the grandest of stories. I mean, we got to do this, and we got to be a part. And then we ate this meal, and it was the weirdest thing ever, but it was still so cool, what? To be in their presence. To be where they are. To see what they see. To experience what they experience. And I think that if we don't surrender to the fact, if we don't put ourselves all into the reality that God is sovereign, which is what we just sang about, by the way, right? It's His breath in our lungs. He sovereignly allows you to breathe the next breath that you have. That is a sovereign gift from the Lord, and that's where Ecclesiastes is going to start us today. If you have a Bible, we're in Ecclesiastes 9, and you can turn there. And here's the thing, too. If you're maybe new to church or haven't been with us, Ecclesiastes is this great book that gives us awesome wisdom. It gives us great insight in how to live our life. But yet, for whatever reason, the author of Ecclesiastes takes this very pointed, blunt, terrible bedside manner in order to teach us the lessons that he wants to teach us, right? Like we talked about that first week, he constantly, depending on what translation you have, but it'll use this phrase of all of life is just meaningless. This and that is meaningless. Pursuing knowledge is meaningless. Pursuing this is meaningless. And it's like, man, thanks, guy, right? Like, what? How is this, like, get me going? But if you remember that term meaningless, it's hard for us to translate. But really what he's talking about is everything that we pursue that's all about this world is fleeting. It all is going to go away, right? Like we know this. Jesus talked about this too, right? For the man that stores up treasures on earth where moth and rust, what? Destroy. Your wealth and your name and your success, it's fleeting. If that's what you live for, is that your name is in bright lights or that you're hanging with celebrities or whatever it is that's temporarily in this world, it will go away like a mist. It all goes by in a flash because, see, there's this world that's temporary and then there is the spiritual realm that's eternal. And this is a 30-day trip in the scope of life when you think of eternity. Our 80, 90-year life that we get to live is comparable to a 30-day life. And that's what Ecclesiastes starts out at. He says, the righteous and the wicked will end. So here is his opening statement of joyful motivation. You ready? So I reflected on all this, which, by the way, when he says that, the chapter 8 has been the argument of why do some people get this and other people get this? He's answering this argument. He said, so in all this I reflected and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands. But no man knows whether love or hate awaits him. All share a common destiny. The righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good man, so with the sinner. As with those who take oaths, and so those who are afraid to take them. And what he's talking about is death. I mean, he opens up with this great, let me just tell you a little bit about life. It's going to end. Good, bad, and different, you're all going to meet your maker at some point in time, right? Again, terrible bedside manner. Whoever authored Ecclesiastes, you do not want to be your physician, right? This is the guy that's going to come in and go, we're going to do surgery, and the next year is going to be miserable for you, right? This is the guy that will not come in and say, look, we're going to do this and you're going to feel a little pressure, right? This is the guy that's going to come in and go, we're going to do this and it's going to be the most excruciating pain that you ever experience in your life, right? He's not afraid to put it all on the table. But he's also this physician that's going to come in and go, look, your end's coming. Good, bad, and different, this life will end. But then he also is able to come back on the back end and go, but there is something much grander than here. There's something much more grand than this life. And what he's really trying to get at in this opening phrase, and I had to write somebody else's thought down on this because I thought they said it so well. And they said this, no one by even righteous deeds can gain control over God or coerce blessing from him. See, because that's the argument. Let me say that again. No one by even righteous deeds can gain control over God or coerce blessing from him. See, this is where I fail. God, I did these things. Here's my righteous deeds of the week. And see, here's how this works, God. I will say as the pastor guy that you're sovereign. I will say as the pastor guy that you're the King of Kings. But here's the real reality. I followed your rules. Therefore, you owe me these things. It is my right to be able to deserve blessing because I've chosen the righteous path. So why is it, God, that I'm righteous, this person's wicked, they're getting these things, and I'm only getting these things? And what he's opening up in Ecclesiastes, go, look, it doesn't matter if you're good, bad, indifferent, clean, unclean, oath taker, not oath taker, it doesn't matter. We're all going to die. And again, it's this just punch of like, really? You just jumped right in and went there. But he has great news on the back end. So moving on, verses 3 through 6. He talks about that there is a gracious hope, though, for those that live. Listen to what he says. He says, this is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. In other words, everything that happens under the sun. Understand this, that when Genesis happened, when the fall of Adam and Eve happened, when sin entered the world, a great evil fell upon the world, and that evil is death. And that's death in this realm, and that's death on the eternal perspective. And he's saying that everything happened, this evil that he's talking about is this death that has come. The same destiny overtakes all. Doesn't matter if you're a tree, doesn't matter if you're grass, doesn't matter if you're birds. Everything experiences death. That's the evil under the sun. The hearts of men, moreover, are full of evil. And there is madness in their hearts while they live. And afterwards, they join the dead. But listen, anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward. And even the memory of them is forgotten. Their love, their hate, their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have part in anything that happens under the sun. So again, terrible bedside manner. But what's he getting at? He's saying, look, you have this life. This is the life that you have. And this life that you have, if you believe Psalm 139, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. How? By a sovereign God. If you believe that there is a sovereign God that holds the stars and the planets in place, the life and the breath that you live and the place that you are currently is ordained by Him. It is a gift from Him. And this is the only shot you get at it. There's not a reset button. There's not a put $5 on the app and get 100 new lives to continue to play the game. This is it. This is what you have in front of you. And as you live, in the time that you have to live, there's hope. Hope for what? He talks about in there that death is this evil that has come over. And he says, in our hearts is that death. Here's what I believe that the author of Ecclesiastes is getting at, is that sin is in the world. So here's what I think the gospel is, okay? And I've said this before, but if you're here and you're maybe new to church and you go, you keep talking about gospel and Jesus and why is that so important? Here's what I believe. I believe that there is a God who sovereignly created all things from nothing. I don't think that He used somebody else's work. I don't think that Him and a group of people got together. I think that God spoke the universe into existence. I believe that He spoke all life into existence. And because He's sovereign and because He created everything out of nothing, that is what gives Him authority and lordship over the entire universe. It is His. It belongs to Him. And because it belongs to Him, He gets to set the standards and the rules and the precedents of how it is that we are to live in this world. Man, though, rebelled against that sovereign king. They said, here's the rules, we know what you've set up, but we want to go our own way. If you go and read the Genesis account, Adam and Eve decided that they wanted to be like God instead of trusting their sovereign God. And when that happened, sin entered the world and brought death to the world. But here's the great news, that God also sovereignly chose to graciously give us life. What do I mean by that? What God said was is that if we chose to rebel against Him, that we deserved death. And everything did begin to die. But sovereignly, God had the right to end all life on the spot. And He didn't. He allowed us to live. And He allowed us an opportunity to restore our relationship with Him. And He did that through someone named Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and lived the life that we were designed and created to live, living perfectly in harmony with His Creator, and then died on the cross, paying the penalty, that death penalty for our sin, and then rose from the grave because He conquered that penalty through His life. And now the gospel says that we get the great opportunity to hear this good news and respond to it. And the way that we respond to it is that we trust that Jesus Christ is the Son of a sovereign God who can restore our relationship with our Creator. That's the story of the gospel. And every moment that you live, here's your hope, that you grow to know that truth, both for the first time and gets richer each and every day. And the other hope that you have is that you get to live out the truth of that gospel and reveal it to others. See, here's the other cool thing. And I don't understand this. I still don't think it's the best option. But God in all of His authority said, I want you guys to be the ones who carry the story of the gospel to the world. I want you to join me in sending that message out to the world. And so as long as we have breath, we have hope. We have hope that we would gain the gospel. We have hope that we would grow in our relationship with Christ. And we have hope that we would be able to share that relationship with others. What a great life to live. I mean, think about that reality. That everyone who lives at some point in time, at their birth, is all separated from their Creator. They're separated from what they were created to be. And that you carry the story, that you get to carry the life that they were meant to live, live it in front of them, and share it with them. What better gig is that? I mean, what better thing could you share with someone than that? What a great and gracious life He allows us to live. And then He continues on. And finally, He gives us some real joy, if you will. Listen to verse 7 through 10. It says, embrace and enjoy this gracious life that you've been given. Go eat your food with gladness. Drink your wine with a joyful heart. For it is now that God favors what you do. Always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given to you under the sun, for all your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. That's the good news. But did you hear what he said? I mean, yeah, he still has this total just like drudgery way of saying everything. But basically what he's saying in that passage is enjoy what you have. Now, he gives a caveat to that. Verse 8, when he says always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. What he's saying is God has still put parameters around our life. God has still told us, look, these things will lead to death in your life, and these things will lead to life. But the things that lead to life, knock yourself out. Enjoy it. Now, let me just let you in on how sick of a human being I am, okay? I've already told you that I believe that I have the right to coerce God. Man, that's an awesome pastor, all right? So that's already where I am. Not only that, but here's what I also like go to another length of. If I can do what's right in the hardest way possible, that'll get me even more points with God. Anyone else ever thought this way, right? If I can make everything more drudgery filled, then God would even like me that much more. Like, Daryl, if you enjoy life, like, God will see that as just terrible. Like, my mind has been there, especially when I first became a believer. What I really thought the Christian life was all about was making everything as difficult and boring and unhappy and unjoyful as possible. And if I could live that life, I was in the zone of Christianity. Really? That's where I was. I still do that sometimes. You can pray for me. But what he's saying is, look, this life is meaningless. Storing up treasure here is not going to last an eternity. But here's the deal. The things that you can do with joy, do with joy. Man, you go and get a great bowl of some awesome, freshly homemade tortilla chips and some queso. Knock yourself out. I mean, he talks about feast. Have a good time. Follow it up with some red hot, ready to go, honey covered sopapillas. Which, by the way, does anybody know what a sopapilla is? Can I just ask that question? Can I just say that in my small group, it was the most disappointing night ever to learn that 100% of my small group had never heard of a sopapilla. Folks, that's a gift from the heavens, all right? That's a gift from the heavens. If you haven't found one, it's time. It's here. You got to do it. Now, maybe for the heart, not so much. But the days are meaningless, right? So enjoy your family. Even the hard. Parents, we're so guilty of this, right? See, we lose sight of the fact that children are a blessing from a sovereign God. We get caught up in, God, so busy. Right? My kids are such divas. Why can't my kids just respect me? And we get bogged down in this drudgery when the reality is, I get to be a part of that. I get to display the love of Jesus to my kids when they display full rebellion on me. Your work. Do you understand that, again, Psalm 139, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. The skills, the abilities, the talent, the intellect you have for what it is that you do, you are uniquely made to do by a sovereign God. Enjoy that. That doesn't mean there's not going to be bumps in the road, okay? This doesn't mean that sometimes things don't get rough. But you get to be in it. I won't go into all the details of this story, okay? I went through a 4-year stretch in my life. 2008 to about 2012, 13-ish. It was awful. It was funny. Just the other day, I went to a pastor's get-together day, and they were like, what was the worst season? And I was like, this little 4-year window. And I mean, death of family members. And honestly, and again, I'm naming myself out. We had our first child and you don't have sleep and you're going through funerals and you're going through this and you're going through that. And this went on for 4 years. And I'll never forget, I sat in my living room and dealt with a really, an issue that we just don't even have time to go through what it was like to deal with. But it was unbelievable pain in my life. And I remember coming home and an elder from our church and his wife were at our living room when I got back. They knew that I was meeting with a family that was more than furious with me, even though I had done what was right. But I understood why they were frustrated. And I remember coming home and they said, well, how did it go? And I said, they were gracious, They are angry. I understand their anger, but I also just wish that they could understand why we have to do what it is that we did. And basically, just sat on my couch. I remember just bawling. I'll never forget. My elder's wife came over and she wrapped her arm around me. And she goes, "Daryl, we love you." And I said, "I know, but why? Why do I have to go through this? Why am I the one stuck in all of this?" And I started going down the laundry list of things. Why did we have to go through this season right here? Why did I have to lose my mother and my wife's grandmother on the same day? Why did I have to go through this at work? Why did one of my best friends have to be fired? Why did this? Why did I have to get involved in this situation and be the one that would have to make the call on it, knowing that it would really frustrate people, even though it's the right? Why am I the one who has to carry all these burdens for so long? And she said, "Daryl, I don't know, but I do know this. God is sovereign. And God has allowed you to be here in this season because for whatever reason, He believes that you're the one to lead this ministry through this season." Okay. Thanks for the sovereign card, right? But you know what? It still hurt, but it changed the whole perspective. God was allowing me to be in that scenario. God allowed me to go through those things. I still don't know all the reasons why. But if all I got out of it is that God is sovereign, God is in charge. See, when you believe that God is sovereign, then all of a sudden that passage of God will never give you more than you can bear becomes a true reality. When we don't believe God is sovereign, what we believe is, that's kind of just a nice little saying, but it doesn't really flesh out. Right? And whatever season you're in right now, it could be bad, but even the fun stuff. I mean, I go back to that. The Bible doesn't say that you have to be down on the good things in life. Enjoy it. Enjoy the fun moments. Make memories. 1 Corinthians 10:31 through 33 says this: "So whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Isn't that funny? Whether you eat or drink. See, here's the thing. And again, I'm not here, okay? This is me meditating on the passage and being convicted but not doing it. I just, about a week ago, asked my kids, I said, "Do you know why we pray before a meal?" I said, "We pray before a meal because here's what we believe. That God provided our food. I don't believe that our credit card or our debit card or our check or our cash. I believe that God provided us food. And because God provided us food, we stop and we say, 'God, thank you for providing what we need.'" See, when we really process that, you can eat and drink for the glory of God. You can literally eat and drink for the glory of God. You hear me say this all the time. You're all going to, this is my little moment of making you roll your eyes. But folks, we get to. And here's the thing that I hope we get out of today. Okay, if I could give you, this is kind of like application and wrapping up. I understand that we live in New England. I understand that there's not a church on every corner that really believes in the gospel. I understand that you go to work as a believer, way outnumbered. That you live in neighborhoods as a believer, way outnumbered. I understand that we don't live in Christian culture around here. That it's dark, it's hard. Sometimes it feels like the soil is hard and dry. And I want us to be a church that says we get to. We get the opportunity to be a light in this darkness. And you know what's true about light and darkness? It shines way brighter in the dark. We get to be a part of that. We get to share the gospel. We get to live. We get to eat. We get to drink. We get to be in relationship with one another. We get to give. We get to work all for the glory of God. I'm not scared of the fact that it's dark here. I'm not down because it's dark or it's hard or it's dry. I want to embrace it. I want to take on the challenge. Not because I can change anything, but because I know the story of the gospel that can change everything. And it's changed me. It changed me when I lived in the middle of Lightville, okay? Oklahoma is like the shining diamond of the buckle of the Bible Belt. And I did not know the gospel. And yet, Christian culture's everywhere. It's in the schools. It's in everything. And you know what? I didn't live it. I was in the dark, and yet the light found me. How much more could the light find people when it is dark as it is? I want to embrace that. I want to have joy in that, that God has sovereignly allowed each and every one of us to be right here, right now, in this time, in this place, with a purpose. I want to embrace that. See, I want to go back to that 30-day illustration and go, okay, God, that's where we're going. Let's do it. Let's do it. And it'll be hard. There'll be disappointments, but it's all good. And then he finishes, it's all for his glory. He says, I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise or wealth to the brilliant or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to all. Moreover, no man knows when his hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net or birds are taken in a snare, so men are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. Yet again, thanks Ecclesiastes, right? But what he's saying is this. God's in charge. You think you're not the smartest? That's okay. God will still use you. You think you're not the strongest? God will still allow you to win battles, right? Isn't that the story of David and Goliath? It wasn't about David. It was about God. David wins the battle because God is the one who wins the battle. You're not the fastest. Okay. Save a few. Don't save a lot. Save a few. Share the gospel with a few. Finish up with these things if you're taking notes, and we'll wrap up with this. The applications are simple out of the passage. You get one life. You get one life here in the Lord. Enjoy it. Enjoy getting to live the gospel out. Because here's the deal. Heaven's going to be epic, okay? As you folks would say, heaven will be wicked awesome, all right? But here's the thing. Once in heaven, God's glory reigns. In this life, the hope that we have is we get to live out that glory for people to join us in. Take advantage of it. You get one chance. It's a gift. Embrace and enjoy the perks of life. Folks, go find a sopapilla today. Go do it. Go enjoy it. The things that are good in life, you don't have to beat yourself up to prove your Christianity. You get to have fun. God created happiness and joy too. Those are some of His things. God desires for man to see His glory, to be restored to life from death. And we get to be a part of that work. I want to embrace that. That's the greatest job. That's the greatest career I have, is to share the gospel. To live and be the gospel. Let's embrace it. Let's embrace the awkward that is being Christian in New England and go for it. See what happens out of it. If you're here this morning, by the way, and just as we wrap up, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, that idea that God created the world, that man rebelled, that Christ came to redeem us and we get the opportunity to respond, man, come visit with me after the service. Come visit with Derek, Bethany, if you see her, she's going to be here in a second. If you don't know who that is, you'll see all of us at some point. But find one of us and ask us how you can ask Christ into your life. I promise you this, it's not the easiest life I've ever lived, but it is the most joyful life that I've ever lived. Because I understand that each and every day is not under my control, but it's under the control of a sovereign God. And so every day is truly a gift, and I want to embrace and enjoy every single facet of it each and every day. I'm going to pray for us. Band's going to come up and close us really quickly with a song just to, again, to meditate on today. So let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Truly, God, even as I just said that, I realize that I don't process even what I'm saying because it becomes such routine. Thank you for today. Thank you for the breath that I'm breathing right now. Thank you for the people that are in my family. Thank you for the church that I call family. Thank you for Westboro, where I live, and even some of the spiritual struggle that comes with that, God, I thank you for it. But God, I thank you for the great joys in it too. I do thank you for a great wife. I thank you for two of the most beautiful children on the planet, even though they drive me nuts sometimes, God. But Lord, thank you for that. God, and I pray that we all would be in that vein this morning. I pray that we would just take this time and yes, just say thank you, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. God, that everything that we need has been provided by you, that you are sovereign, and because you're sovereign, we recognize that all comes from you, and therefore we get to live a joyful, joyful life. And let us do that, Father. We love you. It's in the name of Christ that we pray this morning. Amen.